We're going to continue on. For our final presentation today, we'll be talking about next generation verification processes for automotive and mobile designs with a CSI2 interface. Presenting will be Thierry Burdaw, Director of Software Engineering at Cadence Design Systems, and Yafit Sner, the MIPI Application Verification IP R&D Team Leader, also with Cadence. Thierry is Director of Software Engineering. He manages the Verification IP or VIP product line for MIPI, Ethernet, and DisplayPort, which helps semiconductor companies shorten their time to market and perform superior protocol compliance verification for their designs. Thierry is active in the MIPI marketing, audio, and display working groups. Yafit is currently leading the development of MIPI verification IPs aimed for emulation at Cadence. She has more than 16 years of experience in hardware design and verification and software development. Please welcome Thierry and Yafit of Cadence.
Good to go. Okay. And you also need this microphone.
Oh, the two of them?
My mistake.
Good evening, everybody. So I hope you still have a lot of energy for the next session. It's going to be the last one, so that's the good news. So Yafit and myself are going to introduce you the next topic. Which is about the next generation verification process for automotive and mobile designs. With the MIPI CSI2 interface. So basically, we're going to cover through this presentation a little bit about the usage of the CSI2, where it's used in the industry. Then we talk about the different level of verifications that you want to do whenever you want to verify this kind of design on the IP subsystem and system level verification. Then we talk a little bit about spec compliancy. How can I know that I'm really doing a proper verification, and that my design is spec compliant. Then we talk about the acceleration methodology. We're going to an overview and take the CSI2 acceleration ready environment, how it looks like, and talk about it. And then the last point will be about how do I migrate and move from a simulation environment to an accelerated one in an efficient way. Okay, so I guess during the day you've heard a lot about CSI2, so I'm just going to summarize this. So CSI2 is definitely widely adopted on the serial high-speed protocols, and you can find it already in very complex systems, right, in different areas. So it started up with the mobile, but then you could see it also on the video games, automotive, where it's also now expanding multimedia and virtual reality. So the more your design and your system will get complex, it will start looking something like this, right? With many interfaces, which can be high-speed wired interface peripherals like USB, PCI Express, Ethernet. Then you will have some storage and memory with the MIPI, UniPro, and UFS. And other memories. And then you can have also a bunch of like CSI2, DSI, Soundwave, a bunch of MIPI specs, right? And the more your design, your system will need to cope, the more your verification will become complex, right? Then on top of all the different hardware that you will want to verify that which is working together, you will also find pieces of software that you will want to make sure that they are working and speaking properly, right, using your hardware. So basically, many MIPI interfaces that you will want to verify in your more and more complex system. So what are the challenges that you will get when you will need to do this kind of verification? So you will want, first of all, to define what you want to verify in your system, right? So defining coverage plan, coverage point, to make sure that you are covering all of this until you go to code freeze. Then you will want to make sure that in terms of interface, you are CSI2 spec compliant, based not only on the CSI2 interface, but also based on the configuration of your design. Time to market, right? It's not like you have endless time. Usually you're always on quite a pressure to make sure that you're doing this on time. And then it will require parallel development of hardware and software design. So how do we do this efficiently so we can reach the time to market and have everything working together properly? And then the last challenge would be to create and validate a real-world scenario which can actually simulate already in your pre-silicon environment, so before you tape out, something which is actually simulating a real usage. So let's have a look about the design verification flow that you will usually have. So you will start, if you're developing an IP, you will start doing an IP verification only on this, right? Making sure that you are spec compliant on the CSA2 interface. Then, once you will reach some maturity of the design, you will port it inside your subsystem and then check that it's well integrated and that many flows are working properly. And then eventually it will go to your system. And then it will look something like we've seen before on this huge beast with all these different modules in it. So usually what you want to do is, when doing your IP verification, to have as controllability and accessibility about what's happening inside your design. And at this point, you will want to use some kind of verification IP that will be able to talk the same language and the same spec that your design is intended to. And then once you will be moving up on the line to the system, you will want to start using more accelerated VIP that will allow you to run a longer test in a faster way. In terms of test suite, you will always want to have some basic test suite to make sure that you are everything is working fine on all the different verification environments. And then you might want to have actually a full verification test suite, especially on the IP verification and subsystem, to make sure that you are spec compliant, right? So let's start with the IP level verification. In terms of flow that you will want to verify, your first challenge will be to take your design, to integrate it with a verification IP, which is able to talk the same language as your design does. Once you integrated it, to start running some basic test suite to see that things are properly connected and find your first bugs. Then after that it's well connected, you will want to start compliancy to make sure that all the tests to ensure that you are compliant to the CSI2 spec are actually running and finding all the different bugs with all the different corner cases. And then you will start eventually to find some kind of bugs, right? And so you will need some systems, some tools, checkers that will allow you to say, hey, this is spec compliant, this is not spec compliant. And then starting to debug and to fix all the different bugs that you have in your design. And then eventually you want to make sure that you can say that you are done with this when you have all your verification plan, all your V plan, including all your coverage points covered with all the different tests and scenarios that you had. So this is the IP level verification, right? So you have one model, you integrate the VIP, and then you start running the tests, find bugs, run more tests, debug it, and then make sure that you are covering all the interesting scenario that you wanted to find at this level. Then in the next level, when you move to subsystem, you will actually want also to have some kind of environment which is including not only the CSA2, but other part of your subsystem, and integrating all the different VIPs that you have, right? Then again, creating some tests, maybe reusing some of the old tests, but creating more complex scenarios with all the other interfaces that you might have. And then again, starting to debug it in an efficient way to make sure that you're able to catch all the different bugs in the subsystem level. And then eventually, again, to make sure that on this level, you run all the scenarios that you were intending to find and to make sure that they are covered in your environment. Then the next step will be to move to SOC. So at this level already, if in the previous one, you might have started already to use some accelerated VIP and accelerated environment to have more complex. When you move to the SOC level, your tests are getting really long, right? You have a very, very heavy design, and you want to make sure that you are able to run many tests. So maybe some VIPs will be used, but more accelerated VIPs. And again, here to run some test suites, making sure that you're able to debug them and then collect all the coverage, right? So at this point, you will want to actually have the VIP part and the accelerated VIP part finding all kind of corner cases and being merged into one coverage to make sure that you are covering all your verification environments. Okay, if we talk about verification methodology for spec compliancy, so basically at this point you have two aspects, right? So the one for compliancy for the CSA2, you will want to make sure that you are spec compliant, right? So there is a CTS defined, but there are also many tests that you will want to define to make sure that all the tests and scenarios that you are running are actually running all the different interesting scenarios to cover all the spec, right? So you want to make sure that in terms of protocol, you have a protocol checker which is coming from the CSA2 spec and making sure that you are spec compliant. So this is one thing that you will want to have in your verification IP to make sure that your interface is actually working properly. Then in terms of coverage, you want to make sure that your coverage is aligned to the design configuration, right? So if your CSA2 has only one lane or it has different configuration that it supports, you want to make sure that you are covering all these specific configurations. And then you will want to run the complete test suite, right? And make sure that you're covering all the interesting scenarios of your design. A second aspect of verification at this level is not only to make sure that you're compliant to the spec, but that also you're complying to your spec, right? To your architecture spec that you define, making sure that this interface is actually working in the way that you wanted. So at this point, you will need some kind of scoreboarding, right? Integrated checker, saying that whatever you inserted inside of your design is actually coming outside on the other side properly, building an integrated checker based on your system definition. So this is an example of a verification IP that can allow you to do this properly. So how does it work? Usually the VIP, you will connect it on the interface to your DUT, and then you will be driving the packets through a BFM. On top of it, you will have all the sequence that are interesting to order to create all the scenarios that you're interested to. Then you will have some kind of config, right, to define exactly how you want the VIP to work in the same aligned way that your design is defined. And then eventually you will want some kind of monitor which is sampling all the different packets and everything happening on the line between the VIP and the DUT to make sure that on this interface you are sampling everything and checking that everything is happening aligned to the spec, right? And then you will be wanting also, as you're sampling all this information, to have your coverage points there to make sure that, okay, even if I intended to have many interesting scenarios, I want to make sure that these scenarios are really happening while I'm sampling what's happening on the line and making sure that it's covering all the interesting stuff that I wanted to verify. So regarding spec compliancy, what you will need on this VIP, when connecting it to your DUT, you will want to have the possibility to configure your VIP to send transactions and to access transactions and sampling transactions, and to have some kind of callback that whenever something happens on the line, to have all the information passed and tell you, hey, this happened, a reset happened, or a transaction passed, and to get back to you so you can catch this packet and use it in your environment. So let's have a look at a basic CSA2 DUT. So looking at this one, let's say that you have a design which is CSA2 RX, and then it will be connected on the PPI with the CSA2 Actify, where all the packets will be sent from this. So you will have all the compliance test suite injecting all kind of interesting scenarios and driving them to your design. Then on the other side, let's say you have an APB interface, you will need also a VAP that will be able to talk the same APB spec language, and then a pixel interface, right? So you will need basically in your environment CSI2 Actify VAP, a pixel custom, whatever interface you're using on this on the pixel interface side, APB, and then you will want some also passive VAPs to make sure that you're having the protocol checkers working and checking properly everything which is passing on the lines here and everything passing on the lines here, right? So this is, you know, a regular environment which is much simplified. So when you get to do verification of a design like CSI2, you can actually start your environment already by taking VIPs, which is aligned to a known spec, and to the APB, and then already create very fast your environment, which allows you to already have a starting point at a very advanced, at a very early stage. Then in terms of scoreboarding, whatever you inserted in your design, you want to make sure that actually it's going properly on the other side. So you will want to create a new environment, the last piece of integrity checking, a scoreboard. So let's talk a little bit about spec compliancy, right? So I've inserted all these tests. I've seen that all these tests, I think that they are covering everything on the spec. So the first thing that I will want to have in this spec compliancy is to have a complete test suite. Test suite, which will have all the tests. It has to be something which is optimized in terms of combination. You don't want to have a lot of tests. You want to have a good optimized testing. You want to make sure that these tests are reaching 100% of the verification plan. And you want to make sure that actually the tests that you are driving are aligned to your design configuration, right? You don't want to run any test which is coming, just the one that are relevant to your configuration. Then you want, the second pillar is to have the coverage, right, that we talked before. And you want this coverage to be also aligned to your configuration. And then the last point is the verification plan, right? So you have all these coverage points. How can I know now that all these coverage points are covering exactly what I wanted to check in the spec, right? So you want to have some kind of a tool that will allow you to actually translate all these coverage points coming from different places in your environment to make sure that they are really linked to each and single line in the spec that you want to make sure that you're covering. So let's look at the user flow. So usually you will come, you will configure exactly what your design is intended to do, putting all the different configurations that you want. And then this configuration will create some kind of configuration file that will be going inside your VAP, right? So at this point, your VAP is well-defined and knows exactly what are the capabilities of your design. And this is the VAP that you will be connecting to your DOT, right? Then the next level is all the tests that we are talking about, the spec compliancy. So you want to have all this test suite to be connecting and inserting to the VAP all the interesting scenarios that you define. And on the other side, you will want from the monitor, we talked about the coverage, you want to make sure that all the coverage that you define are well defined in a verification plan. And more important than everything, you want to make sure that it's not only spec compliant, but it's spec compliant aligned to your design, right? So you will want actually to take the configuration that you defined for the VAP and to link it also to the test suite and to the coverage, allowing you to run actually only the tests which are relevant to your configuration, right? To have some kind of filtering, but not manual one, like automatic one. So basically, this is a methodology that allows you not only to have a fast integration of verification IP, but also to have a fast integration of all the test suites, to link the coverage properly, to link into a verification plan, and all this automatically connected to your configuration. So how does the verification plan looks like? So you look at the spec, right? Let's look at the spec of CSI2. You want to make sure that at the end of the day, your environment is really linked to that. So you want your verification plan, let's say, using some kind of tool like the VPlan that will go exactly line by line by the spec So you are able to understand exactly what's happening. And then you can see that, for example, in chapter 5, I'm covering exactly all these different points. And during my verification process, I want to have full transparency on that. So I want to make sure what is the percentage of this specific chapter in the spec, how it's covered, and what is the status at any point, right? So this way you're able to track your verification process and to make sure that you are going with the right pace to toward your verification ending, right? So you will want to have different chapters linked to very specific areas with a percentage. So this way you can really like know in a metric way where you stand. And then once you will want to have more details about a specific chapter, then you want to see, okay, in this chapter, these are all the sub-areas that I'm supposed to cover, and I want to make sure that I'm covering this, and these are the holes. So for example, these are already covered, and these are not covered. So basically to have some kind of high-level understanding where you stand, and to a low level of each chapter, where do I stand, and what is still missing in my verification process. So at this point, handed it to you.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Thank you for staying for our last presentation. So I would like to move to the more to the system level area and go a little bit more about how you can do migration from your simulation verification environment to an acceleration environment with accelerated verification IP. So why do we need acceleration? So as Thierry mentioned, today's systems are very, very complex. It is further complicated by the drivers that the software team needs to develop and firmware running on the embedded processors. And very fast, you get to a point where you cannot run full chip test in simulation. So you may be able to do a simple test on simulation, but pretty fast you need some hardware platform to help you reach the more interesting system scenarios. So what are the hardware assisted verification methods that are commonly used? So the first one, there are two main platforms that are being used. One is the emulator. The second one is the FPGA prototyping. And we used to divide them to three different methods. So the first one would be simulation acceleration. And that means you take your verification environment, like your traditional verification environment, and you accelerate it by taking the design and moving it to run on the emulator on hardware speed. And the advantages of the simulation acceleration is you can reuse your verification environment that you wrote for simulation, and with minimum effort, you can migrate it to run in an acceleration environment and benefit from the speed that you would get from this environment. Virtual emulation. Virtual emulation is you still get your design and you move it to run on the emulator, but in this case, instead of the verification environment, the traditional verification environment, you would have some kind of a virtual model that that you can use, and it can drive interesting traffic. So it can, for example, for CSI2, we will have a camera model that can take image files and it can drive and inject the data, and you can test your system with real traffic. The third one is in-circuit emulation. So basically, you also take your design, you run it on the emulator, but you use some physical interfaces to drive your design. You can use SpeedBridge, you can use JTAG interface. So basically, that's the fastest mode, but you have less controllability because you don't have the software part anymore. And FPGA prototyping, which can you usually is also used with the same physical interfaces that you would use in the in-circuit emulation. So I want to go a little bit in more details about those three methods. So basically, simulation acceleration, you can see here. So this is the green box is the emulator, and the blue box, it's what is running on the workstation. So the design or most of the design will be running now on the emulator. So it will be running in megahertz, depending, of course, on how you synthesize your design on the complexity, but in order of megahertz. And then on the workstation, you will have your verification environment. And of course, you would want to reuse a big part of the simulation verification environment that you used for simulation. So what you need to enable this mode is some very low component that will be running also on the emulator, and it can talk to the design. It can interface in the same protocol. If it is CSI2, then it will know how to drive DPDN or PPI interface. And here, you need some software component that will provide the software API towards your verification environment, similar to what the verification IP provides. Like it can give you an API for transaction, for sequences. Of course, it will have some. It can have some monitors or drivers here. And what enables us to mix those two is by implementing some communication channel in the middle that can transfer the data from the hardware side to the software side and vice versa. And it can be implemented via different technologies. So there is DPI technology or SCIMI pipe technology. But basically, the information that you will pass from side to side will be transaction-based and not signal-based. And the reason you need it to be transaction-based is because if you start moving signals from side to side, of course, you will not benefit much from the acceleration. So you want to minimize the synchronization on this interface as much as possible. Now, what we call an accelerated verification IP is actually what encapsulates and has all this complexity inside. It's an IP you can put in your place, integrate in your verification environment. On one side, it will have a physical interface. On one side, it will have a physical interface towards the DOT, and on the other side, it will provide a similar software API as the verification IP was providing. And that would give you, enable you to accelerate all your design on the emulator side. So moving on to virtual emulation and virtual device. In this case, as we said, you will not have your verification environment here. You will have some kind of a virtual model, virtual device model. If we're talking about CSI2, then it will be a camera. It will know how to take image file, for example, in different formats. It will get some configuration of you know, the porch lengths that you would like to use and other configuration of the interface. And it will know how to take this image file and it will drive it to the design, and that will actually enable you to inject real world traffic into your design. But still, you will have some controllability on the software side. You will have more debuggability, you will have repeatability. I mean, you can, if there is a bug, you can recreate it very easily because you are still running with the simulator. So that is the advantages of using the virtual emulation. And what we call virtual device is actually what encapsulates both the what we have in the accelerated verification IP, the Verilog module that interacts with the design, the software proxy, and on top of it, there will be a layer that will implement the virtual model itself. And this is a more detailed a diagram of a CSI2 device model. So you can see here the input is image files. It gets driven into the as an input into the virtual device model. And here you have the AVIP integrated inside, and it knows how to interact with the PPI or the DPDN interface into the design. You can also, of course, have an I2C interface here that will have the control part. You can also have, if it's a system that has also a display, you can also have a DSI interface, and then you can also visualize. On one side, you provide the input files of the image files, and on the other side, you can actually visualize and see what the processing, the image processing system was doing with the image file that you provided to her. So it really gives you a lot of power in testing your device with real traffic. Okay, so moving on to in-circuit emulation and, you know, in prototyping. So basically, in both these methods, you can use real interfaces like SpeedBridge. And in this case, we can see here that on the emulator, you actually have some hardware interface. So this is a MIPC site-to-rate adapter or SpeedBridge, as we call it. And it knows how to interface to a real sensor. And that enables you to both, you know, inject real traffic in line rate, and also test a closed loop. You can have a camera, like a depth camera, that can change the settings, and then you can see how the image changes on real time. And the advantages of this system, of course, it's the performance that you can get. Whereas in the AVP, it will be more. You will have more controllability and repeatability, but of course, you can have slightly less performance on that aspect. So that is for virtual emulation. Now I want to go back to simulation acceleration and talk a little bit of how you can, you know, you're starting to build your simulation verification environment. You're writing maybe your verification IPs, your own verification IPs or commercial verification IPs, and you want to be able to write it in a way that you can later on take it and reuse it for emulation with the least effort. So there are some concepts that if you build your environment at the beginning based on those concepts, then you can later on very easily take and reuse a lot of the simulation environment for acceleration, and you can gain the performance with minimum effort. So the first and the main principle is actually you need to use, if you're using a verification IP, you need to have an equivalent accelerated verification IP that will provide the same API both toward your environment, your verification environment, and to the DOT. And that would actually enable you to switch, to replace your verification IP model, replace it with an accelerated verification IP, and you will not need to change your environment because the API is consistent. It is the same API. There may be some parts of the API that will not be supported in acceleration, for example, maybe controlling a low-level controllability over the signals, but you would still have a large shared subset of the API that you can write sequences that can write on both simulation and acceleration. So that's the first and main concept, and you can see here. So basically, the core, the main functionality can be different. Of course, you know, if you are implementing an accelerated verification IP, you will need some. You will need to implement the technology between the emulator and the simulator. So it will be different inside. But the layer of API that is provided to the software environment and the API that is connected to the DOT, it stays the same. So that enables you to replace it with minimum impact on your environment. The second principle is actually when you move to acceleration, you take your design, of course, and everything on it, and you need to synthesize everything that is on it to the emulator. So you want to separate your environment to two different TOPS from the beginning. So if you have two TOPS, one that includes all the hardware, the DOT, and all the everything that interacts with the signals, and on the other TOP, on the software TOP, you have everything that is on your verification environment, then very easily when you move to acceleration, you can take that hardware TOP, you can synthesize it to the emulator, and still have your software top running in the simulator. You don't need to re-architect your entire environment to enable that. So that's a very main principle that if you start from it, it will really make your life easier later on. Then, you know, you would want to use event-based as much as possible instead of cycle-based delays. I think it's also, it makes sense to If you want to improve performance in your simulation verification environment, then every place you can you need to wait for an event, then instead of just guessing the the time that you need to wait, using an event would make the performance much better in that case. For running on the emulator, it's critical. You can use signal-based delays when you're running on the emulator, because then it will make the interaction signal-based and it will have bad impact on performance. And then the last part that is more related to how you write your sequences, then you would want to identify in advance what is the sequences that you would later on want to run on the emulator, because when you're moving to an acceleration environment, you don't want to rerun your entire block level verification, all the sequences again. You don't want to toggle every bit on each interface maybe, but you want to test the integration of the system and you want to write interesting scenarios for the entire system. So there are some sequences that you would still want to test in acceleration, and if you identify those, you can write your environment in a modular way where you can later on just take those subset of sequences. And it should have only APIs that are supported, of course, for both acceleration and simulation. And it will be minimum effort for migrating it later on. So that's the another basic, very basic API concept. So the last part, I just want to go over some basic example verification IP for a design IP. It's similar to what Thierry presented in his slides. So you have some design IP, CSI2RX design IP. It has some PPI interface towards the PHY. It has some APB interface for configuration, and you have the pixel interface going up. And this is like a very common verification environment. You would have some verification IP of the CSI2 driving traffic to the through the PPI interface. You would have some APB verification IP component, and you may have some passive verification IP to test the interface itself, and of course the user sequences and the rest of your verification environment is also there, interacting with the verification IPs. So this is the simulation environment, and we want to go step by step how you migrate it to acceleration. So the first step would be to disable the passive agents, and this is why we talked about having a modular environment. You would want to have the passive agents on the part that is only for simulation and not on the shared part that you will also use for acceleration, because you cannot have signal level interface when you're running on the emulator. So this is the first step. It would be to disable those passive monitors. You can still have the same environment, and just by a compile switch or some option, you can disable those monitors. The second step, you would want to migrate to the AVIPs. And now you see that because we used a consistent API, you can migrate and you can still, the environment that interacts with those can stay the same. So you don't need to change a big part of your verification environment. So that would be the second step. The third step would be to choose the subset, as we talked about, the subset of sequences that are only relevant for acceleration and simulation. So we disable the other sequences. We can have some smart filtering to take only the sequences that are interesting in each mode. And the last step would be to migrate. So because we use two different TOPs, one for hardware and one for software, it's very easy for us to take now the hardware TOP and move that to run on the emulator. So we can migrate it to the flow of the emulator, and then the software TOP can remain running on the simulator. And this is the minimum effort that if you are using those concepts, you can go by very, very simple steps and have your acceleration environment ready based on those concepts. And the design, of course, is now running on the emulator, and It's accelerated up to, so it depends on the on you know how much you live on the software side, but it can get into a hundred of X or you know even thousands of X over what you would get in with the same test in the same environment in simulation. So it really you can shorten a test that takes weeks to run. You can run it in a few hours or a few minutes when you use the emulator. So just a quick summary, you know, recap of what we went through. So the advantages of acceleration, we talked about, you know, the performance gain, the, which is, of course, the main reason you would use an emulator. The second advantage, you can still, you know, you don't need to write everything from scratch. You can still reuse big parts of your environment. If, of course, you write it in a modular way. And then again, you can also use advanced technologies on top of it. There is a lot more technologies that you can run using acceleration. We didn't have time to go over everything, but there are many, many use cases. You can integrate ARM fast model to test, to test and do a hybrid operation, and you can connect to virtual devices. You can connect through virtual machines, so you know you don't need to run on the same machine as the emulator. So there are many advantages of using that, and the first step, of course, is you know to identify that you want to use acceleration as early as you can, so that you can you know rebuild your environment in a way that it really be reusable for later on for acceleration. So thank you very much for your patience. So that's the questions.
Are there any questions for Yafit or for Thierry? Any questions? So I'm designing a CSI2 device. How do I go about confirming that I'm actually compliant to the CTS?
Okay, so what I was So what I was showing before is actually you really want to have some kind of mixing, and you will want to have the the possibility to be able to collect coverage points in your simulator, in your simulation, so in this environment and also in the accelerated environment. So the most important thing is to start on the right, you know, on the right foot, to make sure that you are defining everything you want. And the first step would be to have all the spec compliance, right? So you want to make sure that all your lines are covered, and this is linked to what I was showing. You need a verification plan that allows you to show very clearly that all the coverage that you want are exactly covering on the spec. And then you still want to have the possibility to do this on two different environments that you could switch and have some scenarios in your simulation environment and some in your accelerated environment.
Any other questions? We have one back here, Sahil.
Yeah, I want to ask about the step. You mentioned four step. What is the split between our work and your work in this step, and how much it takes to take it to accelerate?
You mean if you're using the accelerated verifications that we provide?
Yes.
So, of course, what we do is we deliver a product that is consistent with the verification IP that we also provide. So you would get a model with a consistent API that you can, you know, you can write your environment based on this API. And if you move later on to the AVIP, then of course, you know, you can use the same sequences or, you know, sequences that are interesting for acceleration with AVIP later on. The separation to software and hardware top, of course, this is how you build your verification environment, so you need to do that. And of course, you would need to do the migration of the design. The AVIP is just a part of it, but you know, you will need to migrate your design to run on the emulator. And as part of it, you will also need to do the same for the AVIP. So that's another change that you need to do in your flow. Those are the main changes.
Thank you.
Any other questions? No? All right. Thierry, Yafit, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.